Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio. Also, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Deezer, wherever you're listening, it's the Dark Mark Show. Live in Hollywood, I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian, and I'm trying to get this new camera working, and it seems to be working okay. Let me flip it around, give you something to really look at.
Hi.
That's my co-host. She's back.
I'm back.
2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row.
Everybody's favorite vegan heavy metal DJ, Hannah Bach.
Howdy.
Yeah.
Yes.
We got a show for you tonight.
Oh, yes, we do. Because everybody knows I used to DJ at the Rainbow. And Saturday night, I was partying with the girl to your left.
Ah.
Wasn't I?
Of course. I love it.
The beautiful... The scream, because you've always wanted to be a scream queen too.
I did, yeah.
Here's one right here. She's going to teach you how to do it. Maybe you guys will stream later on. This is the star of films from Bruce Lee, Fights Back from the Grave, up to and including Hollywood Warrioress, everything in between.
Yeah.
Deborah Dutch.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. What an intro. I just love it.
Oh, what an outfit you're wearing. I'm just
scared. Yeah, it's wonderful.
I'm working the 4K.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yes. I mean, you know, I just wanted to dress up for you, Mark.
Oh, really? Well, we'll talk about that later. I'm getting a little distracted. We also have, now, Hannah.
Yes.
Who would you say is one of our top five guests of all time?
Dangerous D.
There he is.
Oh, damn. Oh, damn. I appreciate that.
There he is.
That.
He was on
my favorite show.
He was on once, and he all the stuff he did is
on once. I almost killed one of your engineers.
Yeah, that's
right. I
brought
on crazy guests. I have a homie with me here tonight. We're gonna get wild tonight.
Tell us about your homie, because I actually booked the homie and you tagged along, and I was glad to see it.
That's how it is. I originally he wrote my coattails, now I write his.
Yeah, that's Cyrus Penn.
But yeah, this is Sideshow Cy. This is my homie. He's actually literally the official sword swallower for the Dangerous D Shock Show, one and only. Fantastic, as far as I'm concerned, best sword swallower on the planet right now.
Really?
Yeah, out of control.
Yeah?
Literally out of control.
Well, we're going to find out tonight. Yeah, we're going to find out what makes a good sword swallower and what makes a bad one.
Oh, yeah.
And we might talk to Cyrus, too, because Deborah's here. But anyway, so we got to, before we get going. Oh, back on me again. Anyway, before we get going, Audible. Audible is still sponsoring us. Can you believe that?
Ooh,
that's awesome.
Yeah, Audible's still sponsoring us.
You actually duped me into them.
No. Well, yeah.
You did. You got me. I had no idea what it was. I was on the show, and I was like, hey, and we were talking about sideshow books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, the sideshow book that you got was Secrets of the Sideshow by Joe Nickell.
Exactly.
And it was a good book.
It's fantastic.
You didn't know about.
Right. Exactly. I didn't really even know about that title. And then you told me about it, and I'm like, wow, you know. Because I'm like a little punch drunk. I'm a little bit of an idiot. So I'm like, you know, I should read a little more. Yeah, what's going on here?
And you know, with audiobooks, they do the work for you. They read for you. You just have to listen to it in the car.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Now you with me.
Well, here's the thing. When you did it 2 years ago or 3 years ago when we had you on the show,
yeah,
you got a free book and a free 30-day trial. What a deal.
Yeah.
Now you get a free book, free 30-day trial, and two Audible originals.
Son of a bitch. I'm going to cancel my subscription and hop back on.
Yeah, Audible. You should do that.
I'm saying.
Because audibletrial.com/DMS.
That's insane.
I'm going to say it again. audibletrial.com/DMS. Let me tell you two of the Audible originals you can get. You can get, and by the way, they also have, you work with Roger Corman, Deborah.
Oh, yeah.
They have a couple books on Roger. What's going on with the camera? There she is. They have a couple books on Roger Corman. They have a biography. But not only that, you get two Audible originals. One of the originals you can get, Hi Bob. Bob Newhart. 95 years old, or however old he is, interviews up-and-coming comics like Will Ferrell, Sarah Silverman, Judd Apatow. Or maybe you're not into that. Maybe you're into continuing the Alien saga. There's all so many questions. They have
Sars is in Aliens. Look at his head.
No.
You might be an alien. I don't know. But they have a continuation of the Alien saga, Alien Out of the Shadows. Rutger Hauer does one of the voices of the characters.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's free. Along with another Audible original. You don't have to get Bob Newhart, but why not? He's almost dead. And a book and a free 30-day trial if you go to audibletrial.com/DMS.
Nice.
Hannah's going to tell us about our other sponsor real quick.
Do You Meet Home Cooking?
Yes.
Best vegan food in L.A.
1652 Vine Street.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a new location in Culver City, which I wish I wrote down. There's also a location.
The next Mex.
In Toronto, Canada, which I was wrote down. Did we ever take you to Doomies, Darren?
Actually, we did, didn't we?
I don't know if we did. But
was that the night I ate all that Molly and I couldn't remember it?
I don't know, but they now have a new... See, everything's expanding since you've been here. They have a new Mexican restaurant next door. Vegan flautas. Can you imagine?
Really?
The biggest flautas I've ever had. The nachos were one of the... I'm not kidding. They were huge.
Hey, stop talking dirty to me. We just started.
No, no, I don't. I know. I'll bet you it'd be tough for you to swallow these flautas or something.
You'd be surprised.
And also the nachos were voted one of the 10 best nachos in L.A. by the L.A. Weekly, the only ones without
awesome.
Meat.
That you mm-hmm. sell me there.
Yes. So that's 1652 weird. Vine Street, you can get Nex-Mex or the regular Doomies. Go to Google, find out where the Culver City one is and the...
City
and
Harris
the Toronto
area.
One.
Do your own fucking homework is what he's saying.
Just go to Doomies Home Cooking. Anyway.
Use your smartphone. Come on. Yeah. Don't be lazy, kids.
Right. And awesome. Anyway, speaking of smart, here she is. Deborah Dutch. I'm trying to get the cleavage in there. I don't know if I'll be able to do it. Now, you come from a prominent family.
Yes, but, you know, I usually don't talk about that, but... You know, anything you want to ask me, it's kind of a...
Well, your great-grandfather helped build the Brooklyn Bridge, am I correct?
Yes.
Yes.
What?
No, she's... What? This is an aristocrat right here. No, we're going to talk about your movies. Don't worry about it. I just want to get a little context of where we were. And your uncle was it your great-uncle? Wasn't a steam actor?
Yeah.
No, what I read, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were in a school play. And one of your relatives invited Agnes Moorhead.
My grandmother was friends with Agnes.
Agnes Moorhead from Bewitched, the mother from Bewitched, came to see your school play.
How did you know this? This is stuff.
I do research on all my female guests. Extensive research. Hannah will tell you, I do extensive research on my female guests.
He does.
So, but you wanted Agnes Moorhead to see you.
I had nothing to do with it.
Oh, it was your
Grammy
grandma?
Did.
Yeah?
Because they were good girlfriends, you know?
Right.
My girlfriends mean everything to me.
Sure.
Well, same thing with my Grammy. And
yeah.
And she was friends with Agnes, and I was in high school, and
right.
I was always a ballet dancer, and then
right.
dancer, cheerleader, actress.
You were
going to
be a prima ballerina?
Yes, I was. And
you've
seen me do splits at the Rainbow.
I don't know.
You have it?
Do a split.
I have
it. Do a split.
Do a split. Do a split. Do a split. Do a split. Do a split. Oh!
Okay.
Wait a second. All right.
With my boots on.
And you've been doing yoga since you were a kid, too.
I haven't even warmed up.
Okay.
Are you ready? But you got to get the camera.
Sorry.
Okay, hold on.
Are you ready for this?
I'm totally ready.
Make sure the gimbal's got it. Okay, hold on.
Okay, here we go.
Gimbal's doing some weird stuff.
Holy shit! Oh. Whoa! Holy shit! Holy shit! Holy shit! Holy shit! Oh! Fantastic!
I've got the whole shot right here.
Oh man.
That is amazing.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, her legs all the way underneath my chair.
Awesome. Unbelievable.
That was awesome.
I do it all the time.
So you're always warm. Wow.
Then if there was more room, I'd spin around, go down, go back up.
Push the table.
Wow. The table, right?
Yeah. I love doing splits.
Oh, man. Well, you're a professional.
Got a swallower and a
Hannah, I think I'm in love. Well, this is amazing.
Wow.
So you're but here's the thing. You're a ballerina, and you got in a cheerleading accident.
What the heck? I even forgot about that.
Now, how do you get in a cheerleading accident?
Well, I can't believe you.
I've been immersing myself. And Deborah Dutch, always.
Well, Wikipedia is a lovely
that's
tool.
One of the accidents that I've had in my life. I was teaching the young girls. I was like 15.
Okay.
So I was one of the captains of the cheerleader, I guess, co-captain at that
right.
time.
Okay.
And we had to audition all the girls who want to be cheerleaders.
Right.
So we have to teach them the cheers and everything. Mm-hmm. So I just did a simple, it was the most simplest thing. You know, we were going bump, bump, and then it went down like this, you know, with your pom-pom,
mm-hmm.
and then up like this. Very simple cheerleading move. And I felt something funny when I went down on my knee.
So
and
right.
what happened was one little bone broke. but I didn't know about it.
Right.
It floated around my knee for 2 weeks, and it started tearing up the tendons and stuff.
Story of your life.
And I remember being in the bathroom, and my mother was trying to help me straighten my knee out. And it hurt so bad, so we went and got an x-ray, because I just thought I pulled something, you know, because it was such a silly little cheerleading move, and I jump and do all kind, you know, I'm a cheerleader, gymnast,
yes,
you know, all that kind of stuff. And right. what happened was that little bone caused so much trouble in my knee that I had to go on a leg cast for a year.
Oh, goodness.
So that was really, you know, really a hassle for me, but I still... did skateboarded and all this stuff with a full leg cast.
You skateboarded with a leg cast? Oh, that's crazy. Crutches
and snow skied. I'm from back east.
Yeah.
But I couldn't cheerlead.
Right.
And I couldn't dance. And after that, I was going to New York to be a professional ballerina because I thought that was my calling in life.
Right, right.
And after that, I mean, I still can do everything on my leg, but I couldn't do the 4 hours of toe every day,
right,
on the knee. So then I became strictly like a rock and roll dancer.
Oh, okay.
But I did do musical comedy. That's going back to Agnes Moorehead. You know, I was in. Well, I think she went to see me in West Side Story.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that was the play she wanted to see. Right. And my grandmother wanted to know if I had the talent to make it in show business, because, you know, it was, I guess I was a junior.
Maybe. I know, based on this last 10 minutes, you have the talent to be in show business.
Oh, because of the split, Mark. I know what men like. They love seeing women split. Do split. And a couple other things.
Oh,
the boys are smiling in the
shake
room right
now.
Shake
it, mama. Shake it, don't break it. That was free. That was free. That was a freebie.
But anyway, so when Grammy came in and I insisted to go to public high school,
right?
I don't want to say this, but you know, Grammy wanted me to go to the Swiss finishing schools but I never wanted to do that stuff. I just wanted to be a regular, you know. I didn't like being a debutante.
Right.
I mean, I did. It's beautiful, mm-hmm. you know, the whole cotillion balls and all that stuff when I was younger.
Right.
But all I wanted to do was rock and roll and, you know, be with regular cool people, ride right. motorcycles and stuff like that. And you couldn't do that if you were, you know, like too aristocratic.
Right.
You know? And a lot of the, you know, the aristocratic dudes, I always thought they were,
I don't know. Squaring.
Yeah, lame. Yeah. Just oh, like, of course. I always was after the tattooed bad boy with long hair.
Well, you and Hannah have a lot in common there.
A lot in common right there.
So, anyways,
so that's why you've been hanging out at the Rainbow for the last
million years.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Grammy asked Miss Moorehead, you know, after the. But when they went into the high school, my high school, public high school in Princeton, outside of Princeton,
right.
New Jersey. Oh my gosh! Everybody went completely nuts.
I can
imagine. That's when Bewitched was like really, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if the
it was really, it was really an experience, but it's the truth.
Right, right. Oh, that's great. And then you got.
She told Grammy that I had talent.
And you were on your way. Now, when did you hit L.A.?
Well, I went to New York and, you know, got on Broadway, and
really,
yeah.
And what play?
I was in. Actually, one of my breaks was in Ed's Rosa and the Rose Tattoo. The young girl who falls in love with the bad boy sailor.
Oh, typecasting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. And then Mama, who... Oh, I don't need to go into that story. It's right. Tennessee Williams. It's really cool.
No, I'm familiar with...
Chekhov. I did a Chekhov play.
Wow. Now, how do you go from Chekhov to Bruce Lee Fights Back from the Grave?
Oh, okay, so I fell in love with a rock star. And
do you want to name names?
Well, actually, you want to know?
Yeah, I want to know.
Well, he was produced by George Harrison, so I was hanging out with the Beatles. It's true story, and partied with them and everything. Paul McCartney passed me a joint. I thought I was going to, you know, have a conniption fit there.
I got
mean,
bubbles
I went,
off of JJ Taylor.
Oh, okay, thanks, Paul. And I
bet it was good shit.
You know, I don't even remember back then.
it was good.
That's good shit. That means it's good shit.
It was probably fucking pubic hair. But it doesn't matter because Paul handed it to you.
It was his pubic hair.
I'd have smoked his cock if he handed it to me. Wait. Yeah.
But anyway, so he was produced by George.
Right.
And so they got a record deal out here. They were in London with Apple, and then they went over here, and then Richard Perry picked them up with A&M Records.
Okay.
And so I don't know if you guys remember them. Back in the day, they were called Lon and Derek Brother, and they did Wildfire, and they did Dance in the Dark, and I danced at the Roxy at the A&M record releasing party.
That the one, so they call him Wildfire, that one?
Yeah.
And,
oh, you dated that guy?
Yeah. And
wow. Whoa. Look at this guy. Yeah.
Well, I was pretty young and in love, but anyway, that's how I ended up out here. And so then, you know, I just... started going out in auditions, and this cool manager, I think he was like a mafia dude. His name was Guy something, but he was really cool. Yeah. He goes, "Okay, Debbie, you know, you're really good, you know, because you had to do monologues back in those days, you know, to see if you knew how to act." And so
you still do.
No, it was the pre-Weinstein days.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I could tell you stories about that stuff in this town.
Well, hold on, Debbie.
Oh,
hold on,
I'm
Debbie.
Not even gonna go there.
No, you're gonna go there because we're gonna get there. But no. I don't want to neglect my other guests because I've got Dangerous D.
Speaking of bad boys,
and we got,
over
let
here.
Me talk to us about bad boys. We're gonna get back to that.
But that's how I got into Bruce Lee through Guy.
We're gonna talk about Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
No, because this is
like a motherfucker.
This is a Bruce exploitation movie. You remember when Bruce Lee died and there was like Bruce Lai and Bruce Lee.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm all about that.
Yeah, I love that.
Into that.
Yeah, I watched it the other night. It was a very you got to see this one. Like the opening of the movie, he comes up out of the grave. The rest of the movie has nothing to do with it. But Debbie Dutch is there in her youth. How old were you when you did that?
By the way, in the movie.
How old were you when Bruce Lee?
I was basically 17, 18, something like that.
Right, which is amazing because
I would go the
you're 29 rain... now, so yeah, that's a
thank you. But I would go to the Rainbow. I was underage.
Ooh.
Mario was so cool. I mean, I just love Rainbow. Because Derek would be recording all night, like producers or SIR or something. And I'd hang out and do my little background singing in the thing. And then Richard would put me in the little booth. He said, "Debbie, dance. The one you like the best, you dance to. That's going to be the next hit single." Cross my heart.
Wow.
And so I'd go in there and I'd dance. I'd go, one's not good for dancing. Because back in those days.
So you're like American Bandstand. You predicted the new song.
That's fantastic.
Well, I just danced the ones that I could feel.
Yes.
Because I'm a dancer.
You know,
music is for dancing, actually. Right. I mean, it's for listening and enjoying. But basically, you know, you get up and you jump around and dance, right?
You get up and do what?
Yep.
So they would put me in the booth, and they would say, Richard Perry, I don't know if you guys ever heard of him before, but he's like a producer. He produced Carly Simon, Manhattan Transfer, a bunch of different groups. But anyway.
Not a lot of dancey groups, but they're good.
Yeah.
But have you ever met these guys before? Dangerous D and I'm sorry. Because Dangerous D, first off, we got to call you Domesticated D.
That's why you have not been on in a while. Dangerous Daddy, yo. Dangerous Daddy.
This last year, 2018, you got married.
I know. I got to say, actually, this is the first time I've been like on air since all that nonsense took place.
Did you ever think that nonsense would happen? Now, I've known you ever since I've known you. You've been with Madeline. So.
Yeah. Actually, she like floored me. I'm Italian, so I came from like a big family, you know, type of thing. And family is important. I was like, yeah, eventually one day I'll get married, have kids, do the whole thing. Moved out to LA a couple years ago, you know, in the entertainment business, doing what I'm doing. And it was like gung-ho work. Yeah. You know, I wasn't sidetracked by anything, you know what I mean? And she knocked me out. She floored me. So
she's somebody that can floor people. She's
unbelievable. Oh, dude, she's unbelievable. So, you know, I was an idiot. Mama didn't raise no fool. I locked it down real quick.
Right.
Bang, got it. You know, but in the past couple months, we got married. We had a little boy.
Wow.
So it's insane.
Beautiful.
The first one. So
that's why I haven't hit you up because
I was busy
changing diapers.
Oh man, seriously, dude, you have no idea, bro.
No idea. I have a little tiny peanut, right? He's Dean, my little buddy Dean Angelo, right? He's tiny.
Right, right.
Tiny.
No, they tend to be at that
age. He craps like 20 times a day, like grown man shits.
Well, he's definitely your son.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
Bathroom usage tonight.
He's got those Italian bowels already, bro.
Yeah, how many times did you shit today?
Me? 42.
Yeah.
42 times. And I actually just destroyed the bathroom in here.
I can imagine.
Before I came in, yeah.
Luckily, there's a lot of potpourri in there.
Yeah. So, like, seriously, like, you know what I mean? My wife, Madeline, is the absolute best. I got a little boy, Dean. He's awesome. Yeah. So, Dangerous D, Domesticated D. And I got about, I think another week or two. He's 3 weeks old yesterday.
Yeah, congratulations.
So I have about another 2 or 3 weeks before I put him in the show.
I was going to say that this is why
I got a few weeks, then I put him in. His first birthday, instead of blowing his candles out, he's going to eat the bitches.
Wow.
And then you're going to hang him from your ears.
That's what I'm saying. I'm swinging him around. That's how I put him to sleep. I rock him with my ear. I rock him.
Now, are you kidding? Or are you serious?
No, I'm 100% serious.
I don't. That's some reason. I don't
no, believe it. I've seen
it. You've seen him. You've seen him hang him from his ears. Yes.
People don't realize, like, until you get a baby, like the thing is, like, I don't work out often or whatever, but like, you know, like if I'm physical and I'm whatever, you know, I'm fairly strong.
Yeah.
So, but as soon as you get a baby, like, you don't like realize you don't have baby muscles. Like, you don't have the muscles to like hold a baby the way they need to be. Like, your arms get tired in like 5 minutes.
Oh,
you know?
Sure.
I could jerk off for like 4 hours, hold a baby for like literally 30 seconds. I'm like, what the fuck? Right. You know?
Right.
So you got to like work, you know, those specific muscles out. So I'm becoming like that where you get like that dad strength thing.
Mm-hmm.
So until I can work those muscles up, the strongest.
Because you already had the dad bod.
Well, you know what I'm saying? I did that on purpose. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think as soon as he was born, I got my first gray hair.
Nice.
I'm like 40 pounds overweight.
Sure.
I eat 16 times a day.
Yeah.
And I drink a lot of beer and I yell at people that walk on my lawn.
And you shit 42 times a day. Yeah.
42 today. You know what I mean? But it's unbelievable. So my strongest part of my body are my ears. So I chain them up. I rock them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Wow. Hey, what does Madeline think of this?
What's that? She's sleeping.
Okay, she better be.
She's sleeping. She doesn't
better be. It's probably the first time she's going to hear of it.
Yeah, hopefully you have to keep her away from this show. I don't know. But if people don't know, Dangerous D, he's been on the show before. If you know the Dark Marshall, you know him. But you have your Shock Show. Hannah saw you at Knotfest. You've been on Ozfest. You've been on all these things. And you have your Shock Performers. Now, what does somebody have to do to pass muster and be in your Shock Show? They have to be good. But what separates them from just your average
show? You know, it's actually that's a really good question, because a lot of people hit me up and ask me that. I have over 200 performers that work for me, legitimately throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happens. And maybe it's wrong, maybe it's right. I don't know, but I came up from nothing. Like, I moved out to LA 5 years ago with a book bag, $100, and like I bust in Venice.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm married, I got a house, you know, I'm doing like the whole thing, and you know, we're on Ozfest, all this nonsense.
Wow.
So, long story short, I'll give anybody a shot.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you crawl up to me out of the gutter and you're like, hey, I could jump around and do something, and you know, to entertain, I'll give you a shot. One shot, you get it. If you impress the hell out of me and you're really good, I'll call you back.
Yeah.
And it's very, very rare that takes place. Very rare that happens. Like, when I strip it down from 200 people, when I could say, hey, my elite cats that I know that I could send out, put my name on the Dangerous D Shock Show, and they are the best in the world, there's like 8 people.
And this is one of them.
Sitting next to me is one of them.
Oh.
Cyrus Penn, the Dangerous D, the only one and only sword swallower in the Dangerous D Shock Show. This kid is
nobody else does sword swallowing.
Not one other person can touch a sword in the Shock Show because they can't hold a candle to this kid.
Now, you're from Virginia.
Yeah, I'm from Virginia.
Second week in a row, we had Ophelia Rain, the adult film star from Virginia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was here last week. So was your pal Ron Jeremy, but go back to last week's show. But so what led to you to start swordswallowing? Did you start with a knife? I mean, what happened?
I actually started. Yeah, right. Yeah, start smaller and then go bigger. Is that how it works? I don't know. No, I actually started off as a juggler, and
that's what I thought, because I've seen you juggle too.
Yeah, it's like I started off as a juggler, and then I came to realize that it was more entertaining, more dangerous juggling I did. It's either that or you're just good at juggling. And
what's dangerous juggling?
Well, dangerous juggling, knives, fire, chainsaws.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Chainsaws.
People, kids.
Kid you not, I've done it.
Yeah.
And then just dangerous juggling led to sideshow, and the holy grail of sideshow arts is sword swallowing, and I'm a sword fanatic, so.
Yeah, well, I can see that. You've got your bag full of swords over there.
Yeah, a golf bag full of swords. A golf bag was the best investment ever.
So around Virginia, is there a big market for this? Because, you know,
no.
D was in Baltimore, the only white person, and people saw him, and they're like, white people are fucking crazy just looking at the shit they did.
If I broke out a sword, they'd have handcuffed me and arrested me. I'd have been done for.
He was again?
Lucky. He was lucky. He was a hillbilly living in Virginia.
Yeah.
People around there rode up on their dirt bikes and they were like, holy shit. Wow. You could swallow them things and not kill people with them? I'm telling you, it was unbelievable.
That's but there was there
that's
was
the weirdest
no
redneck I've ever heard in my life. But anyway, you were what the hell that was?
I love these guys.
Blame it on the beer. You're feeding me booze. You want me to do? I have like two accents that I can do. One of them is mine, and the other one is
like,
mine.
That was like half Family Guy, half Southern redneck. But
you drink a full six pack before you got here.
But again,
dude, he just had a baby and he just got married. Well, he's not going to drink now. What's he going to drink?
I was going to say, I've been very, very sober and very, very good. Tonight's my night out, but I'm also working. But I'm telling you right
you
now,
working.
Too, if I have to piss again, should I go up and like go to the bathroom? Or
just go ahead.
Just go ahead.
We got plenty. I'm gonna make sure that I'm gonna make sure that he swallows swords and that
signals.
People do splits. And
okay, just
that word.
Do all the interesting stuff when you.
We'll keep it entertaining.
Sure.
Sorry. So in Virginia and in the South, did you know other sideshow people doing it, or you just
no.
were? Okay.
No, I learned all this from scratch, so to speak.
Right.
Like, I had no mentors, no sideshow friends. I mean, I had some magician friends that like had some slight interest in sideshow.
Right.
But. Yeah, no full-on sideshow artists. And then this guy popped up with a gig in California.
Actually, it was funny because you know what? I started on the East Coast in Maryland, Baltimore, Annapolis, D.C. I went to Virginia Beach, Delaware, like Vermont to Florida. Me and a buddy of mine, Chris Scarborough, hit it all, and we hit the ground running. Because the entertainment business, there's only like 20 people out there doing that kind of shit. So everybody knew who everybody, whether you're friends or not, you knew like what was going on. But there also wasn't really a market for it. Mm-hmm. People weren't knocking down doors for sword swallowers. So we used to have to like fight to get in. So you kind of like, you figure out and develop like that situation and how that works and where everybody's at. And then what happens is I come out here and I put on like this big show,
right?
You know, I never heard of him. I finally, like, I went from performing myself in clubs with, like, two or three people to getting the Ozfest contract where we broke a record, the world record for the largest traveling circus.
It was, like, 50 people, wasn't it?
It was, like, 52 people that performed on stage at the same time all doing, like, sideshow, right?
That's great.
So we get on this thing. So I get, like, thousands of submissions when I put a post up, hey, I'm looking for these guys. He's one of them that files in. So he stands out and like whatever the case. Me, I think he's living in L.A. and he's like a local guy. He's been doing this forever. I didn't, and you know, you go to Facebook and you look at a photo and like, all right, well, send me a video. Everything, you know, looks cool. Right. So sure enough, he's still on the East Coast and I'm on the West. I come out to Ozfest and do this thing. He came out, killed it, did a great job.
Right.
Fantastic source line, but also good at talking. I was like, hey, man, let's do some more shit. And he's like, oh, well, I'm living in Virginia. I'm like, holy shit. Like,
yeah, how did you find out about him?
Yeah, you can't do this every week. Like, you got to get the fuck out here. You know?
Yeah, I he and I had a mutual friend. On the East Coast, up in D.C., and she sent me a flyer, or his talent wanted flyer, and I hit him up from there.
Right. Well, speaking of talents, let's see some of your talents.
Yeah, let's get it.
Had his chomping at the bit to see you swallow something.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yes. This is
okay. So this is a.
This is
kind of. I'm gonna like back up.
Now here's the interesting thing is because like this is part of like. My education there, I learned that one could swallow a sword sitting down as well as standing up is because you sit straighter than you stand.
So it's easier that way.
I wouldn't say it's easier, but it's possible.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Now, before you do this, I'm assuming you're going to lick the sword.
Yeah, yeah. It's an entertainment business, so you got to lick it before you stick it.
No, but is there anything that does that help?
It does help. It is possible to do it au naturel.
So there is a little lubrication that you're
Lubrication also warms up the blade a little bit to get to my body temperature, so it's not as much of a shock when it starts to go down my throat. But yeah, it does make it more slippery.
Okay, let's. I think we're gonna check this out.
Everybody's standing back like I'm gonna explode or something.
No, I'm just trying to get this
on a fucking Gallagher show. What the fuck is it? But just so everybody knows, and yeah, he's gonna stick this in. But you can see, feel, and hear. I mean, like. This is a real sword.
Oh, no.
Doesn't bend, fold, retract into the handle. This is like a, you know what I mean?
That's like some Game of Thrones.
I could kill the engineer with this fucking thing right now if I wanted to. What was your name again? Molly?
Morgan.
Molly, shut up. Yeah. You can
How
take
dare
this. You feel me? So this is real. I mean, a lot
Her
of people.
Her name's Morgan. How dare you?
Oh, see, feel the weight. Right?
No, that's a real sword.
Right?
That's a real sword, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, legit things.
See, look, he wants to give it to me so fast. He's like, get this fucking thing away. Yeah. It's real. 100% real, and it's going to go down the hatch without a scratch.
And that's a beautiful sword. Can I ask real quick, is that like...
Are you talking about a sword or something else here?
Is that a particular era or
Anything? It is. He killed the Pope and stole that sword from him.
Okay.
He did. That's right.
If I'm going to have a pass, I prefer it to be multiple choice.
All right, here we go.
All right, here we go. Down the hatch without a scratch.
Oh, fuck. You. Oh, wow. How about that?
Give a hand, everybody.
Yeah, make a little noise.
Oh, my God. That was gorgeous. Wow. That was freaking amazing.
How can you do at a time?
Metallic or?
It tastes metallic and it smells like shit.
Oh, wow.
Afterwards, anyway. You
sticking up Darren's ass? What's going on with
that? Yeah,
no, my own.
Oh, nice.
Do you do that, too? Is that
how far does it go down?
That pays extra.
Show her. How far does it go down?
Yeah, how far does it go down? Let's see this.
This one in particular.
Oh, okay.
It goes down that far.
Wow. Oh, my God. Wow. Does it ever, do you ever get cut yourself?
He has before, but you know what?
Yeah, I have.
Why don't you show him something? Because you know what? I could tell. Maybe out there, people are, you know, skeptical. Like, what the fuck? Why don't you show him something? He's got a lot of swords in his bag.
Indeed.
And no joke, this is why I'm not just, like, blowing smoke. This is why he's the best sword swallow in the world. Why don't you pull out the Big Daddy?
This Big Daddy?
Yeah, why don't you pull that out?
This one's everybody's favorite, right?
Oh, why don't you show them my that? God.
Okay. You're asking how far it goes down, what
oh
he can do.
My.
Why don't you hand that to the lovely lady over there? Let her see that this is real.
Yeah, hand off. Because
that
sucker's heavy.
I know. You were the star of Conan. I remember.
So, you know, I had to work with swords people to learn how to.
That's the Hollywood Warrior.
So yeah, I have
to. So you know that's real.
Oh,
right?
My God.
100% real
this
heavy
this
handle,
amazing.
Right?
I'm telling you, if
something
I get
else
money for the second episode, I want you guys to come on.
Please.
With the swords.
I'm all about it.
I'll show you.
You let us know.
Show,
that's
I'll
right.
I do sword play as
it's
well as sword swallowing.
That's
I
mean, right. After the show, you show me your sword.
But I mean,
all right.
This is awesome. I
it's
mean,
wild.
I,
so
I just feel like it's so mystic.
Right?
Yeah.
It is. And that's why this
that
has been around forever and will continue to be. And no matter how you spin it, it's 100% real and it's unfreaking believable to watch. So it is one thing to take that sword that you just saw. It's another thing now. You see the weight of this, the size of this. Not
you
that,
felt the weight of this.
Explain to them the grooves in this. Explain to them what happens when you actually do this. You know this is one. There's no gags, no tricks, no illusions.
Because it's
this
not,
is
a,
fucking
it's not
real,
a straight
man
blade. It's curved.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's what we call a flamberge. It has a wavy blade to it, so whenever I swallow it, if you watch closely, you can actually see my throat wiggle as it goes in and as it comes out.
Oh, I can't
oh
wait for that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's what he said last night, but mm-hmm. Anyway.
See,
ribbed
go
for your pleasure.
There you go.
All right, here we go.
He's licking it. And he's sticking it.
Boom, boom. Watch that Adam's apple. Watch this. Bang, 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 bang. Oh!
Give him a hand again, please.
Oh, my God. Magnificent.
Now, it's funny because you see, of all the stuff that you do, and you put mousetraps on your tongue, you do all sorts of stuff.
Oh, yeah, the
mousetrap. You seem a little queasy watching that.
Not even queasy. It's like, fuck, man, because.
It's because he's tried.
Yeah, we've had some sessions and stuff, and I know what it takes and, like, right, what your body feels to go through this.
Because I was going
to
ask if you've ever done it.
Yeah, I've gotten a sword down a few times, coat hanger
I'm
stuff. And what, yeah, I mean, and I know what it takes, and for him to drop a sword like that, ribbed that way, that size, that fast, that
right
easily, and literally, like, pull it out like that and not lacerate, I mean, literally not cut something, it's fucking awesome. And I'm a fan first and a performer second. Like, I got into sideshow, went into this shit because I thought it was
right
awesome.
Right.
Now I'm performing and hanging out and literally, like, booking shows with,
so
like,
first time
only
you saw
my
him,
homies,
like, with the sword swallowing.
I'd seen sword swallowing before. I absolutely have.
Yeah, your buddy Chris would do it.
My buddy Chris, and I saw a lot of people on the East Coast. I've seen it before a million times, but being able to talk and being a character and, you know, charismatic and entertaining,
right,
but also the array. And that's kind of what leads into the show where, you know, we wanted to talk about Down the Hatch, his solo show coming up.
Right.
You go and you see a sword swallower, they have one or two swords, they do their thing. This guy has a sword sitting in that bag with an 80-degree curve on that thing. It's like a half a moon. When he swallows this thing,
oh,
he has to turn.
My God.
He has to turn his entire body to fit perfectly
wow
the shape of that degree. Otherwise,
wow,
that'll shoot out the side of his ribs. There's no fucking jokes about this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I can't. I look forward to seeing this.
Young bucks like this are not doing shit like this because it's impossible.
Right.
You can have a dude go on America's Got Talent, swallow a sword, and fly down a pole because he's been pole dancing his whole life.
Right.
Give him one of these things, you have to change his diaper.
Right.
I'm telling you. That's why his solo show that's coming up, Down the Hatch, you will see everything from the beginning to the end.
I can't wait to see
no it. No sword swallowers come out and said, hey, look, this is how I got into it, this is how I started, and this is what I started with, and this is where the fuck I ended up.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm telling you, that bag is dangerous. So
did you start with a hanger like everybody else, or did you start with a sword? I was kidding about the knife thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like actually no, I started with a sword.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
You dove right in.
Yeah, yeah, I had no idea.
Would you recommend that for all of our aspiring sword swallowers?
No.
No. I recommend if anybody out there listening wants to learn how to swallow swords, I recommend you email me at DarrenMalphy@gmail.com and I'll hook your ass up proper so you don't die.
Mm-hmm. Darren, I don't think I've ever asked you, of all the times that you were on America's Got Talent.
I was.
How did you not get past? What happened?
I was. Actually, I did.
Where did you get past?
I did pretty good, but you know what it was? And I don't want to be that guy, but it was really one of those things where, and I even knew going into it, I wasn't going to win it. Like, they want little kids or, like, you know what I mean, right, a couple, or, you know, this type of stuff. So they use Sideshow and Magic and stuff as, like, a spectacle to, like, boost ratings for highlight reels and stuff.
Right.
So I knew that going into it. So basically, a casting director hit me up and said, hey, I saw you doing this one thing. You think it'd be cool? So the bit that I came up with to start was I do the thing where I slide my body through the, you know, the tennis racket.
Right, right.
And then I get halfway down, and I'm stuck, and I take the zip tie, do the human hourglass.
Oh, yeah, hourglass, yeah.
And I drop it down. So I combine the two, and then what I did was I set the tennis racket on fire and did it.
Wow.
And then I ate it out, right? So make a long story short, I came on, and everything that could, like, go wrong for a performer went wrong. Like, they put my stuff in the wrong spot. The mic was the wrong, the song was wrong, the tech was too, you know what I mean? So I came out and I did my thing, and the funniest thing about it was I got past a couple rounds, and then I get to the round, I'm doing that thing and
on TV.
That stunt, and it's Howard Stern,
right?
Howie Mandel, the Spice Chick,
Mel B,
right, and then Klum, Heidi
Klum, who's so talented herself,
right? She's unbelievable. So we come on, so sure enough, I get down, I'm doing my thing, and I'm 15 seconds in, I get to the zip tie thing, boom, right. I pull the zip tie, and what's it, Mel B, is that what it is?
Right.
Boom, she hits the butt, bang, what the, boom. She like, about to throw up.
I can see
she turns around.
They can't stand it.
Then Howie Mandel, bang, boom, oh my God, what the, then Howard Stern's looking at me, kind of going, and I, boom, he buzzes me. Then I finish my whole, Klum never buzzed me, I go through the whole thing, I finish, but I eat the fire, whatever.
Right.
So then we finish up, and then they're doing the bit where they talk to you. So how Mel B buzzed first. She says, you know, it was just absolutely disgusting. I just couldn't look at it. I don't see how same thing. Oh, this is just gross. Like, I don't even want to know. I don't even know what's going on.
Right.
So then Howard Stern's like, look, man. He's like, the stunt was fucking cool. He's like, I know Sideshow guys and I know shit like this. He's like, but I got to tell you, you're not likable.
What?
Right. He's like,
Howard
Stern.
He
says to me, he's like, your character and your personality, you're just not a likable person. I'm like, wait a minute, dude.
Yeah.
I'm like, you mean to tell me the most hated motherfucker in the world is? And so then I'm clicking back to, and this is why I'm going full circle. So I knew I wasn't going to win this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So right before I go on, I pull one of the casting directors aside. I say, hey, look, I'm not going to win this, but what's going to get me like a lot of camera time?
Right.
Like, what's she said, seriously, if you go out there and you argue with them and you scream and curse, they'll put you in every fucking highlight reel.
Great.
So I come out, sure enough, Howard Stern, and I'm like, you mean to tell me, you stupid fucking Jew, that the most hated motherfucker in the world, you're talking to me, you can't lie. I said, I was born in New York, raised in Baltimore, and now I'm stomping around L.A. like a fucking little Godzilla. I'll jump over this counter, I'll fucking choke you and shove some meatballs down your fucking throat. And they were just they were like, get this guy the fuck out of here. They cut my music, they pulled me off. Mm-hmm. Heidi Klum was like, wait a minute. She didn't get a chance.
She liked it, yeah.
They pulled me off, and they used my shit. They never aired my full performance.
Right.
They used my shit for every commercial, every highlight reel, their website, over and over and over and over again. And then the cool part was, for the next year, the casting director called me back and said, hey, you were fantastic, you were great. I'm not asking you to come back on the show, but we want to hire you to come out and film the commercial for the next year.
That's great.
Yeah, come down to the theater. Come down. We want you to spin the balls and do your whole freaking thing or whatever.
Yeah.
And they hired me for big bucks to come out and film their thing afterwards or whatever. And
that's great.
Dude, it was fucking hilarious.
And is that how Ozfest, is that how you got on the radar?
No, I think that helped because I was able to put that on and say, hey, I was on America's Got Talent.
Right.
But I think the Ozfest thing, I got on their radar because I was lucky enough to jump on that Rob Zombie thing a little while ago.
Right.
And that's kind of, you know.
Right, Rob Zombie had said Great American Nightmare.
Yeah, which bridged the gap, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
But
speaking of Great American Nightmare, you were talking about Harvey Weinstein and.
Nice segue.
I take him where I can get him. You remember you were talking about Harvey Weinstein?
No. I actually, I never encountered Harvey Weinstein, but
Roger Corman, though.
Roger Corman, oh, absolutely, but he's a total gentleman. Total gentleman. But what I was going to bring up was that, you know, when I first came to this town, let me tell you, everything.
Yeah, you
want
to get closer to the mic there.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, it all those stories are so true.
Casting couches.
Oh my gosh, it's unbelievable.
Well, I also read that after Bruce Lee fights back from the grave, which is a Korean guy, that's the main guy.
Jun Chong.
And I guess it was filmed by Koreans. Now, let me ask you, because it's one of these kung fu movies that's badly dubbed.
Oh,
you gotta love that.
And you are badly dubbed.
Oh yeah.
Now, were you speaking Korean or English?
No, I was speaking English. What happened was, back in those days, they pirated films.
Yeah.
So there was a big, when they went back to Korea, somebody, I think it was Japan, pirated it and dubbed the movie. And then there was this big legal fight and everything else. And I never knew anything that was going on. And then a friend of mine was in New York in Times Square, and he calls me on the phone and he goes, "Debbie, you know, there's a big billboard of you out in Times Square." And I go, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah." And he says, "I went in to watch the matinee and all these drunks are hooting and hollering while you run across the screen because you're bouncing all over the place." And I go, "Oh my gosh, that's hilarious."
But weren't you offered a 4-picture deal with a Korean company?
5-picture deal.
5-picture deal.
Wow. Yeah, 5-picture deal.
You would have been the queen of Korea.
Yeah, it was a big hit. I became a star in Korea. And, but it was just so difficult because I did all my own stunts. And let me tell you, I thought I was going to die in the one stunt. If you remember that old Lincoln Continental coming down the hill and I had to do a donut and everything, I did that.
You were the stunt driver on Bruce Lee.
Oh, yeah, but that Lincoln Continental was also the taxi in it. It was they just took the car and painted it to make it. It was hilarious, but there was nothing inside the car. So here I am sitting, and as you can see, I'm a very petite woman.
Oh, I can see.
Mm-hmm. Right. But, I mean, I could barely – I'm trying to drive this old Lincoln Continental with the thing and the steep hill in Agoura Hills. He said – they go, "Faster, faster." Nobody spoke any English, you know? And so here I am.
They weren't saying faster. They said, "Stop, stop, stop."
You just couldn't understand.
No, they said, "More dust, more dust." When I got down, he said – you know, stomp on the brake, and the car had to spin around, and the dust go up. And here I am. There's no seat in it. The big wheel. I could barely see over the thing. And of course, you know, being so young, and I wanted to be a movie star, you know, I just was doing everything they told me to do. But I swear, I could have been killed in that one. So fast.
Did they have somebody show you what to do? They just said, do this.
They just said, do it.
Oh, man.
So you wouldn't do that
like
now?
Like you, man.
That's unbelievable.
Because I'm filming a movie, Dark Mark Fights Back from the Grave, you wouldn't do that now if I cast you in a movie?
Yeah, I would.
She'd be teaching cats how to do it, too.
Now I'm a pro at all this stuff. I end up doing all my own stunts, and I actually have gotten hired, like, on the movie with – it was Telly Savalas' last film with Richard Roundback, Roundtree, and it's called Mind Twister.
Mind Twister, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to see that. This is the most fun IMDb page you'll ever see. Anyway. You were in so many movies. 976 Evil 2.
But in Mind Twister, when I was interviewed, I didn't even really have to audition because the director was friends with this director that I work with Roger Corman a lot, Jim Wynorski. And they knew my work. They knew I always showed up on time. I mean, that's basically what you got to do to make it in the movies. Mm-hmm. Be good, know your lines, show up, and don't cause a problem.
Wow, that's like a lot of shit to do.
It's
a little too much for Dangerous D.
We've been there.
Right. But, I mean, if you do that and everybody likes you, you just get hired.
So what's the number? How many films have you fucking been in? How many films?
Well, I was just on a TV.
You can even ham it up, fishtail, round. I don't care.
If you
want to
hear something, I really don't know. And I was on this TV interview yesterday, and they had all these cameras around, and whatnot. And so for this movie that I'm coming out in now called Night Mistress. And
Night Mistress.
Ooh. Yeah, it's really good.
Funny, Doc Mark already owns it.
The producer or some, or the TV people that were interviewing me go, oh, well, so I see you've been in over 200 films. And I go,
wow.
200? And I said, oh, okay.
Yeah, you thought it was 300.
No, I think it's 200, I guess.
Yeah, that seems about right, because you were in a lot, and you were on... You were on an episode of Miami Vice.
Oh yeah,
you were on the
yeah.
The
so I was swimming in the pool. I was swimming in the pool at the Alexander and Miami Beach with Christy Brinkley.
Oh, really? So over 200 films. That is
in front of Don Johnson and all the gang.
Oh no, Don Johnson wasn't at the pool.
Oh okay.
Billy Joel was.
Oh wait a second. What is
what?
Oh wait a second. Billy Joel and Christy
Joel. I've gotten in fistfights over this.
You seem to party with soft rock royalty. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Now you're gonna tell me stories about doing blow with Dwayne Lightfoot or something. I don't know what's gonna happen.
We need to get her book written.
No, I know you got a book.
I've been thinking about that.
No, but how did you be? How when? What movie do you think was the one that where you became an official scream queen?
Okay, that had to be Sorority Girls and the Creature from Hell.
Yes, I've seen that one, and there was a sequel. They actually renamed, because Die Hard was big, so they called it Hard to Die.
Yeah, that's not Sorority Girls. That was Sorority House Massacre.
Right.
And the sequel to that was Hard to Die. And that was my breakout film.
Right.
Jim Wynorski wrote the part for me.
But it was a semi-sequel, right?
It was a sequel to Sorority Girls, Sorority House Massacre.
Right.
Okay, I wasn't in Sorority House Massacre.
Okay.
I was in Sorority Girls and the Creature from Hell.
Okay.
That's a totally different deal.
There's a lot of sorority girls running around.
But what happened was it got picked up by USA Up All Night. I don't know if you remember.
I remember that. Rhonda Shears and Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
All Night.
And they played it at least one or two Saturday nights a month for a couple of years. And I star in it. And what happened was the people that saw Scream Queens, owned Scream Queens at the time. It was a big deal in the early 90s. They contacted me to be a Scream Queen because of that movie. And then with Hard to Die coming out was such a huge hit.
Right.
And then after that, I was in Dinosaur Island, Haunting of Morella.
Sure.
You know, all those movies.
Are you a good screamer?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. But
what about in the movie?
What's the technique?
Well, you know, it's funny because I've screamed so much in my career that I'm actually hoarse.
You don't have to scream, but
no,
like,
I can
scream. Hannah wants to be a scream.
Whoa.
And then if you want, the last screams that I did in the movies was with Meat Hook Massacre.
Meat Hook Massacre 2.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, it's a movie about Mark?
Meat Hook Massacre 2.
It's so good. It's a young filmmaker.
I saw the trailer.
And it was filmed in Nebraska. It was fantastic. I play Annie Deb, but she's sexy and she seduces the
It's kind
young
of a
dudes.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah,
sort of
oh, it's so
off.
Good. Ooh. And so I scream in that, but it's an orgasmic scream.
Could you do one of those fellows would like to hear that.
I kind of have to get into character for that.
Oh, please, come on, Mark.
We'll get back to the guy.
Character.
Amens.
Amen.
But it's fun, you know, it's fun. But I mean, I was you know, that kind of thing.
Meat Hook Massacre 2.
Meat Hook Massacre 2.
So let's get back to
your life.
Wow.
No, you'd be perfect for a scream queen.
Oh, thank you.
Well, hard to follow up on that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah. Can you scream, Hannah? What's your best scream? We'll have Debbie.
My best. I'm not going
to
do it.
Need me to pinch
her. Scream.
I'm
putting on the spot right now. I'm shy.
You want to be a horror actress? Anyway, maybe these guys will make you scream. So,
he's been known to do that.
Sire's
been known to do that.
Yeah. So last we left off, so you impressed him with your story. So, you were still living in Virginia. You came out, and This was on Ozfest the first time you did this?
Yeah, it was Ozfest. That was my first gig out here. It was my first trip to California, and it was my first time meeting Dangerous D here. He's the one that hired me out here.
That's a pretty good first gig.
Oh, it was a great first gig. It was one of those steps to finalize my decision to move out here.
Right.
And it really was just like a thing where he came out and it's like, you know, you have like 60 performers at one event. A couple of people stand out with shit that they do. You know what I mean? And it wasn't just the sword swallowing.
D always stands out.
Right.
Was that what Kat Von D was stapling a $100 bill to your dick? Or
she was the one that didn't. Tommy Lee did it. She wouldn't do it.
Oh, okay. That's
right. Yeah. I'm like, you're a tattoo
honorable
artist.
Lady.
She wouldn't do it. Yeah. She wouldn't, you know?
So, but I mean, not only do you get to see Ozfest for free, you get to perform on it.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I'm sure the groupies weren't too shabby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the best weekends of my life.
Not
because of that.
Whatever.
You were swallowing more than swords that weekend, is what you're saying.
Oh, you have no idea.
I wasn't.
You have no idea, brother.
He was given lessons.
That's right.
So this was what, 2 years ago? Or?
Yeah, it was about 2 years ago.
Three? Was it three?
No, two, almost three.
All right. Yeah. So
what is it about this guy that stands out besides the sword?
Well, like I said, you look at a bunch of different things, and really, what it wasn't like I was like, "Hey, I'm gonna take you under my wing," and this whole fucking thing. I was like, "Dude, you're good at performing. You have good skills because he does, along with sword swallowing, circus skills, whip cracking, juggling. I mean, balancing.
He does tons of shit.
I mean, he's that guy that can pick anything up. And he's good at it. But so, and he was able to talk. He had a good look, a good vibe. He's young, good looking kid. You know, in good shape. So I said, "Hey." If you really want to make some money, and this is what I said, because it's what I did. I said, if you really want to make some money and do your thing, you have a one-up on everybody. You're a sword swallower. They need that for TV shows and different shit out here in L.A. Get the fuck out of Virginia. You know what I mean? There's nothing. I was from Maryland. We were neighbors. It's nothing. Get the fuck out of there. Come out here. Check it out. Give it a try. If stuff works and stuff builds up, stay. If not, pack up and go the fuck home. What do you have to lose? And I told him, I said, hey, you could squat on my joint. I got a room, stay in my place.
Sure.
You don't have to pay rent, hang out, see if it works. If it doesn't work, go home, whatever. But you got to work for me, man. I'll show you the ropes and what we're doing. And next thing you know, it snowballed and he picked it up and bit on so fast. He packed up, he moved out here. We worked together. And now, me, him, and a good buddy of mine, who's actually his roommate right now, my buddy Killmeister, he's the strong man in my
Killmeister.
Show.
Killmeister.
Big, huge, fucking professional wrestling, tattooed clown motherfucker is the strong man in my show.
Right.
So. Been working with, and the three of us have a good show with just the three of us put together where it's bananas. So I'm still doing like the big shows with everybody, the shock show. I do my own stuff, and then the three of us have been doing a lot, and that's where it trickled down into the show we're talking about.
How did you end up producing this theater show?
Well, basically, he was working on a solo show.
Right.
He was, you know, Cyrus was working on a solo show for a while. We talked about it before he started writing it, and. He was kind of like not secretive about it, but he was kind of like doing his own thing and like figuring it out. So we were performing a lot. I mean, we were on the road. We went to Ohio together. You know, we were like all over the place. So he's always like typing in his fucking thing, you know. And I'm like, what the fuck? He's like, oh, I'm working on my script, my show. I'm like, well, let me read it, you know, a thing or whatever.
No.
Let me see. I'm like, So he finally puts this thing together, and he's like, he hits me up one day out of the blue, and he's like, I got this show, the solo show I'm doing. I got the date booked, the venue, the whole thing. Boom, we're ready to rock and roll. I'm ready to do this. So I'm like, dope, man. Fucking, do you need help with anything? He's like, oh, no, like, you know, I'm gonna knock this out. So then we talked a little bit, and I saw certain things happen. I said, hey, well, I'll tell you what. I think you need a little help getting this all, you know, getting it rocking and rolling and making it happen.
Right.
I'll jump on. I'll help you produce the show, but you got to blow me.
Right.
And he said, okay.
Well, here's a sword swallow.
That's stretch of the truth, but sure.
No. But yeah, I mean, I basically, because it went from him like.
The stress of getting married and having a new child.
Yeah, I mean,
know how
on,
it
could
be.
You know,
yeah, entertainment just business. Before
it. But no, I mean, it went from me hiring him as like a kid that came out and worked for me as a show. We got to really know each other. I mean, we fucking lived together. We became like best friends, became homies. So at that point, he said, hey, you know, I'm putting on this solo show. I want to do this. And this is the look and the feel and everything I want to do. You know what I mean?
Down the hatch.
Yeah, I need some help. I said, sure. So it's called Down the Hatch.
Wow. Tale of a Sword Swallower.
That's right. Tale of a Sword Swallower.
Is this going to be like an hour show?
Yeah, an hour, hour and a half show.
And it's literally one night only. Like, this is not a touring show, a monthly show, something you can see him do regularly at any of his other events. This is the only night you are going to see everything from beginning to end, top to bottom, left to right, of this young buck who is doing something. I mean, when sword swallowing is at its peak, this dude was like 40 years, not even alive yet.
Sure.
Wow. You feel me?
Yeah.
All these years coming back to have a young dude like this keep this tradition and keep this. I mean, this is American. This is real.
When was sword swallowing's peak years?
Dude, like in the 30s, homie.
Yeah. Yeah. 30s, 40s, somewhere in there. 30s, when the sideshows were really alive.
When Barnum and Bailey were traveling around knocking it out.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And this is something where a dying art, kids today, millennials, this is, you know, social media, certain things fall by, even the circus fall by the wayside and stuff.
Oh, sadly. Yeah.
This young kid is keeping this thing alive, doing it traditionally, doing it the real way, and showing something again where it is. Because you know what? Even with YouTube, social media, and this and that, it's human nature, man. Like, if there's a car accident and you're driving by it, you're going to stop and take a look. You're not going to film it and then look at it later.
Right.
It's human nature. Because you know what? When normal people look at something fucked up and weird, they can define themselves against that as normal.
Yeah.
So it's human nature
to see
that.
Trust me, I've never felt more normal in my life.
Right? So instead of seeing this on TV or YouTube, you can get 5 feet away from this guy and do it. And you know what? There's doubts. There's whatever. You will see that. You heard about it. It's American tradition. Now you can say, you know what? I went to the show and I saw a sword swallower for real.
Well, actually, you know? The last time I saw you, D, before you were domesticated, you offered to give me a tattoo because you're a tattoo artist
as
well.
That's right.
Did you give him a tattoo?
He has given me two.
I have.
Your only tattoos? Because I don't see any. Okay,
oh, no. I have around seven tattoos. Two of them are the ones that he put on me.
Oh, you got another one this week.
You have that one?
Yeah, I have
the Shock Show logo.
Shock Show logo right there.
Very nice. Flex the muscles.
The piratey sort of thing right here with the skull and cross swords they did, and we have another one scheduled for next week.
Oh, okay, great.
Wow.
So yeah, what did you have in mind
for me? Because I have no idea.
I told you we should do your logo
on your That's ass.
Right. We should do your logo and let's tattoo that shit live on the show. One
day. I'm down
on your ass.
I want to watch that. Do
Oh, you want to get my logo tattooed on you too?
No. I'm gonna watch.
Okay. if you bring a lot of beer, I'll let you help me tattoo him.
I'm down.
Wow, I can't wait to see this.
I'll bet you.
Diaz let me tattoo him.
Now, tell us about Hollywood Warrioress. And I don't know, where is the time going? We're almost done. But
I really wanted to show.
Or whatever you want to show. What do you got going on?
This is me with a sword.
Woo!
So, I mean, I'm not kidding. I mean, this is just so freaking mystical that we're all together because I'm just so fascinated by everything that you guys are into. And when you brought up Barnum and Bailey,
can I pull this in front of the camera?
The story of the circus is so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
haven't seen this whole movie, but what I've seen is you in medieval, somewhat skimpy outfits beating the shit out of people, which I like.
Yeah, that's a skimpy.
I bet your wardrobe is fantastic.
This is what it looks like.
Dude.
It's like a really cool movie. But I can't wait to... okay, here we go.
There's a sequel coming, right?
We've already started the first episode.
Oh, so it's going to be a series.
Okay, now, this is a feature film. This is 90 minutes.
Hollywood Warriors.
And it's on Amazon.com.
Don't let it overfill.
And then...
By the way, the microphones are picking up you urinating. Anyway, go ahead. So, Harley.
I just got distracted for a minute, Mark. Forgive me. Forgive me.
This is
amazing. I just can't, you know, but I just have never.
You've never been on a show like this.
No, I've been on shows like this before. But, I mean, I'm just so amazed of the mystic connection that's going on.
Oh, with the swords,
yeah. Not just a sword, but,
the whole
thing. I mean, I just think it's absolutely amazing.
So, now, you don't swallow swords, but do you?
No, I learned how to use a sword and fight.
Was that for a movie?
And
or?
I'll just never
forget. We ought to have a match
I'll
over here.
Never forget. I had been partying in Canada. I had just done a film in Erie. You got to meet Len Kapuscinski. If you guys were ever out in Erie, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
He's a filmmaker out there. I mean, everything doesn't just happen in L.A. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But anyway, I just shot something for Len. I think it was Hellcat's Revenge.
Right.
Anyway, I took the train to Toronto. And to meet some friends, just to take a little break before I went back to Philly to shoot the final fight scene.
Right.
I was so partied out, get to Jersey for the... I had to fight 9 professional swordsmen.
What?
Wow.
In my movie. So the final fight scene in here, I was so exhausted. I had spike heels. It was 104 degrees.
In that
the
movie?
Pine Barrens.
I need to see this movie.
That Pine Barrens. And then there were mosquitoes the size of, like, airplanes coming and biting me. I had the sword from Lord of the Rings. It was a replica, but, you know, for the movies.
You sure that's not product placement?
It was this big of a sword. You'll see. And I had to fight 9 people, and I was totally hungover, burnt out from partying all week in Toronto.
You're a true
pirate.
Actually, it was outside of Toronto with some really cool friends of mine at this resort. Right. But I flew in, no sleep, and here I am in the middle of, and I was so exhausted. And the choreographer, he's fabulous. They're called the Mystic Mercenaries back in New Jersey. They do all the Renaissance stuff and TV stuff they have back with swords and stuff. So, like, and so his name's Sean McGarry. He's great. He said, okay, Deb, you're going to do this and this and hold it like this and blah, 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 and then bam and bam. And
simple as that.
And I had to repeat it. I thought I was going to faint. 9 different swords. It's 7 hours of sword fighting.
Holy smokes.
In 104 degrees with the mosquitoes.
But you did all of it.
And I had to run.
Real swords and real heels.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. There you
stilettos.
Swords and stilettos, baby.
Start wearing stilettos.
But when you see that.
Pair of pumps
if
you fit
do
in.
Step up my game.
I can't wait to see it. No, I do want to see this movie.
No, when you see the final fight scene, when I limp at the end.
You're limping.
And I have this sword like this. It's no acting whatsoever. And the sweat's pouring off of me.
Wow.
It's so cool.
Unbelievable.
I can imagine.
Sounds like
but
fun.
That's how I learned how to work with
swords. I got a little research to do.
Yeah, right? We
got
to watch
where does the time go? No, she's got so many great movies. Where does the time go? I know you guys got one last trick for us.
Yeah, we got a little something.
Actually, we've been here a long time. We're kind of fucking hungry.
Yeah,
we're
right.
A little hungry.
I'm starving.
Ready to eat.
Come on. Urination is not a trick. You've got to have something for us.
We do. We have fun for you. Go ahead. Show them.
Okay, here we go.
This thing up. Like,
this is a real light bulb. It's in the package, so you can see that it's not like a sugar bulb. We're in LA. It's not like TV shit. It's not fake. It's 100% real.
Pulls out the knife. He's got the bulb.
Yeah, you gotta get the bulb out. I mean, when it's freshly packaged, you know.
Right.
Yeah, real.
Oh, shit.
Real light bulb.
You can see
it. Oh, no.
Do me a favor. Don't drop this. Don't fucking drop this.
I only got one. Don't drop it.
But verify it's not like.
Is that a real glass light bulb?
It's real glass, right?
It's real.
The real deal.
It's real.
The real deal.
100% real.
All right. Oh, you move over, buddy. You're going to get glass in your future.
Hold on. Before we go crazy, though. Because I've been drinking the whole time, so you got to tell them the date and like all the information.
Oh, we're going to get to that. Let's do the light bulb first. And then.
But you're going to get a little taste of why you need to come out to Down the Hatches solo show. And, you know, no pun intended,
literally.
With the taste. Yeah, I'm
going to
get the fuck out of here, too. Cause
that's right. And again, ladies and gentlemen, real light bulb, real teeth.
Oh, fucking A. Holy shit. Fuck. Fuck, though, right? Right? Hey, dude, seriously?
What?
I need to eat the whole fucking bulb, man.
What's I'm that? Hungry.
Oh, dude, that's
so I see people eat glass, but not the whole light bulb.
This is what I'm saying, dude. There's like
the metal and everything.
This fucking piece left.
If you don't the leftovers.
Real, go ahead and chew on that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dude.
You're not going to eat and swallow it.
How else is it going to come out?
That's right. It's actually a 2-part stunt. That's right. He will chew this up completely. He will swallow it down. If you have a drink in your hand, put him in the sky.
Cheers.
Here we go. Salute.
Oh, my God.
But for the second half of this stunt, you need to meet him tomorrow morning in the bathroom after his first cup of coffee.
And it's all gone.
That's right,
you gotta get my hand
down the hatch without a scratch.
Oh my God!
You know, a man should never get off of the toilet from sitting down. And
here's a souvenir for you.
Oh my God! You
keep
the souvenir.
And sorry,
oh my God!
Does your poop get glittery? I've heard that happen.
For the show.
Yeah,
it's not glittery, but it sounds like a chandelier.
You gotta keep this as a souvenir, a trophy.
Yes, I will.
The show.
Yes.
I mean, this is I've never.
You guys always. First off, D, always a pleasure.
No, but you took my breath away.
You're the man. Like, seriously.
No, you're the man.
Seriously. I'm not joking. This is my favorite show.
I love when you're on. I love
you. Like a punk. You're the man, dude.
No, I'm not a punk.
I have a blast. We party. We hang out.
We always hang out. We got to hang out some more.
I love it.
We got to hang out some more. You didn't invite me to your wedding, but fuck you. Anyways.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah, that was an oversight.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you what. You know why people are angry at me? Because you know what happened to? Happened too fast.
I know.
We found out about the baby bump. We were like, oh, shit, we got to do this fast.
No, trust me. I knew it was a shotgun marriage. Anyway, so tell us about Down the Hatch. I'm going to go. All right. That's only a sample of what you'll see Down the Hatch. Hour and a half of wild stunts and a great story.
Yeah, that's Down the Hatch, Tale of a Sword Swallower is my one-man show coming up. The date is February 25th at 8 o'clock p.m. at the White Fire Theater at Sherman Oaks. It's an evening of storytelling, a little bit of sideshow lecture, and a whole bunch of sideshow stunts. There's sword swallowing, there's a light bulb eating, there's juggling, and I'm even balancing an A-frame ladder on my face. It's apart from just me standing on stage talking to the audience, you're going to get a full show.
This sounds great. I can't wait. Oh, I'm not booked. I am definitely there. And how do people, you have a website, how people get a hold of you?
Actually, you know what? This is the best way to do it. Seriously, because I'm telling everybody right now, this is going to be one of those things. We purposely did it this way. This will never be seen again.
Right.
What he is doing and the stunts that he's doing, it will never be seen again ever. So whoever's asses are in the seats at the time that this show starts when the curtain's pulled, those are the only people for the rest of their lives who have experienced this with us and together. And that's what this is. It's not a huge show. It's not this. It's an intimate night with select people that are going to get to witness exactly what's going on. So honestly, so right now, if people go to my Instagram right now, at DarinMalfi, at Darin Malfi, go to my Instagram. The link in my bio is how you get tickets. The first 10 people, from this show that are listening to the Dark Mark show right now on Renegade Radio, the first 10 people that respond to that post that I just said will be in the show literally for free. Not only will be in the show for free, but afterwards you'll get to meet this motherfucker and ask him whatever the fuck you want. You will get to talk to Cyrus Payne, shake his hand, and ask him why the fuck is he doing this, and get your own answers, because that's what this is about. We're going to show you something that's going to blow your mind. You're going to think about it forever. Meet this motherfucker and have your own questions answered.
That's
Down the Hatch.
Down the Hatch. Go to Darin Malfi on Instagram. First 10 people get free tickets. I get to meet the man and ask him all the questions I didn't ask, but whatever. It's been an hour.
You'll find out in the show.
I can't wait. And Deborah, you've been such a delight.
You have been.
I really want you to come back, and there's so much more to talk about with you. Tell us where people can get a hold of you, any movies you got going on.
Well, all I got to say is, Cy just took my breath away.
Agreed.
You doing split stuff all of our breasts away.
Oh, that's a piece of cake. But I guess it's the same thing. But that was just so amazing. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I just want to say that it's just been such an incredible experience. But like I said, I just feel like there's something mystical going on here tonight.
This is the best.
I mean, it's beyond just like what you see and what you feel here. There's a lot going on, Mark.
You were fucking great. It was an honor to be on with you.
Oh, no.
Seriously, I knew you were kind of like a heavy hitter, but after tonight and the questions he asked, and like, you know what I'm saying, the homework he did, you're unbelievable, man. You're something else. Dark Mark, how come you know all the bangers, dog?
Look, can I tell you? Trust me, I put the bangers together.
Ditto.
Unbelievable. Ditto.
Deborah Dutch on Instagram, on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Twitter, Facebook.
Dark Mark, Dark Mark, Dark Mark, Dark Mark, Dark Mark, Dark Mark, yeah!
Woo!
Deborah Dutch on all social media. Next time you're on, we're going to talk about Debbie Dare, Debbie Chaplin, all that stuff. But Deborah Dutch on all social media. What's the next movie that's coming out for you?
Well, I just did a TV interview for Night Mistress, but
Night Mistress coming out,
right? But I think the next film shoot is going to be the second episode of my Hollywood Wars, which is called War of the Gods.
Oh, I can't wait for that!
And we got the Rainbow as a location, but I mean, if I get enough money, I'd love all you guys to be in it.
Of course.
And we'll write anything, you know, we can write the scene.
Cyrus will perform for you for free.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you need a sword swallower to you know what I mean?
But
look,
imagine a sword
don't just fucking call him on his cell. Don't page his ass. You call me first. Okay. Yeah. You call D. I'm telling you, you need a sword swallower, a fencer guy, the stunt guy. I'm telling you, you need somebody to do something, a little pro bono, you know what I mean?
Well,
maybe buy his ass a taco, a little pro bono for a taco.
Hey, listen.
This guy will come out and hook you up. Now you know a sword swallower.
The thing.
Give me another fucking DVD,
Let me tell you.
I got brothers at home that want some.
Let me tell you something. When you guys are on it, and because of the second episode, it's called War of the Gods, because in the first one, what happens is the whole universe is so shook up. Now there's a war between the good gods and the bad gods. Ooh. So
War of the Gods?
Yeah. So I already
War of the Gods.
Shit.
I already did the first episode. Perfect. I have the rainbow as a location here, but so I want to shoot really fast because you know.
I know how it is. Oh. Anyway, I can't wait to hear to see that shoot. I can't wait for.
But
Mistress,
you guys are all gonna
Night
be
Mistress.
Gods.
I can't wait for all. I can't wait for the show. Yay. Down the Hatch. Hannah, you'll be back in a couple weeks.
I will.
Beautiful, Hannah.
I never do this. I know we're running short on time, but like you're doing live shows too. Like you're a comedian. You're
yes, I'm
you're
doing all
funny.
Sorts of.
The reason why me and you are homies too, because it's like it's a niche thing. Like right. I get your shit and I fucking love it.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Certain people, like, whatever, and I don't give a fuck. But like, I love
can
your shit.
Can we just
and I'm
take a
with
couple
it.
Of stills?
But look,
we will.
We'll take photos. But look, we need to get this lineup specifically here on a live show and do a live show.
Hell
yes.
Let's do it.
We can do a full show with this lineup right here.
We're gonna do the Dark Mark show live. That's coming in 2019. But everybody,
Dark Mark,
have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye.
Dark Mark.
Dude,
what a great anniversary show. Wait.
That was our anniversary show.
This was our anniversary show.
Oh, by the way, that was our first anniversary show here.
Happy anniversary, Mark.
I want to thank everybody here at the Ruby. I want to thank Sammy. I want to thank Trevor. I want to thank Leslie. I want to thank Morgan.
Shut the fuck up. You ain't thanking nobody. All
thank you, Hannah.
Look, all
thank you, Mark.
Look,
happy anniversary.
It's only
Bye.
About Dark Mark, motherfucker. Dark Mark.
Unbelievable. An hour went by so fast.